informal discussion with Ajahn Suchin in Bangkok, September 2023. Recorded by the Foundation, edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Robert, Ryan and Nina, Lee and Eve.
But it's a long, long way to realize the truth, because it has to be understanding whatever is there now.
So sometimes it's a bit worrying that understanding isn't so developed, but there's no other way than understanding now.
But what is the point of understanding? See, just want to have it,
but
no understanding, or no matter what, it is moment of understanding itself. Not just think about understanding. That's why the teaching of the Buddha get deeper and deeper until no hope for anything, no wish, because it's not there anymore, whatever one is thinking about.
Nina and Jinko
are coming. I see.
Nina wanted to buy something at the shop. So
Is there any more questions?
Yes. Why are the monks, the bhikkhu, so patient?
What do you mean by patience, monk? You're so patient. In what way? And who's monk? Are you monk? Are you?
Well, I don't all the way and don't understand. But I still understand a little bit.
I don't really think I am a monk, but I still understand.
Interesting.
Yes, I am. No, I mean, I'm really interested in Dharma.
So, it doesn't matter. Because you can say that this person is monk, but what is monk? See? Like student, who's a student? See? Not just a word. Would you like to be monk?
Well,
not yet.
I don't really know if I want to or not.
As long as the understanding of what really is.
That's what's most important.
They say that someone who understands, Ryan, and develops satipatthana, even they're not dressed like a bhikkhu, they're still a bhikkhu, they're still a monk. Satipatthana means the way of understanding.
If conditions control you, what's the point of doing good karma? Like, I know what it means, but I kind of forgot. I don't know what to say.
So, would you like to understand what karma is?
I know what it is, but I don't know how to explain it.
Give an example.
Give an example of good karma or bad karma.
So, good karma is when you're in the football team and another person from the team, from the other team, breaks their leg and you help them. That's good karma.
Is it you?
No.
What is it?
Karma.
What is karma again?
It's
now karma?
Yeah.
Okay, what is it?
Doing good things.
Now it's karma. So what karma is it now?
Good.
What type of karma now?
Good.
So, is discussing Dharma good karma?
Yes.
Okay.
And why is good?
Because in your next life, good things will happen to you.
Understanding what is there as it is, little by little. Otherwise, there is no understanding at all.
Okay.
So now, karma is this moment of hearing, considering, beginning to understand what karma is. But he can say more about it, I think. You'd rest your hand.
So it's when you do good stuff or bad stuff. Like if you do bad stuff, bad will come up to you again, or if you do good stuff will happen to you.
Have you done any karma today?
Yes.
What is it?
Meeting Buddhist people.
Good karma? Okay. While you are eating, having lunch, was there any karma?
Yes.
What karma?
In your past life, it is good. So you get to eat.
Good or bad?
Good.
Eating is good karma or not good karma?
There's one thing I haven't told you. There's something called vipaka, and there's something called karma. So vipaka is the result of karma. So if you taste, if there's the taste of delicious food, is that from good karma or bad karma, do you think?
Good.
Yes. Exactly. So you might say eat an apple, but you eat a bit that's rotten. Does it taste good?
No.
And what's that? Why is that? Why does
it's
that
bad.
Happen? Yeah, but why did it happen that you...
Because you did bad karma in your past life.
Or the past sometime, yes.
Or maybe the past minute, or it can't be always the last life.
So this is Lee, a friend from Dharma Wheel, an internet forum, and this is Ajahn Sujin.
Nice to meet you. I may sound a bit nervous, never been in such a setting, but excuse me if I sound a bit nervous, yeah? For around almost 10 years, but seriously practicing for around 3 to 4 years. What I heard about the teaching, of the Buddha, that there are four truths, there are four noble truths. There's suffering, there's a way out of suffering, and that's the Eightfold Noble Path, and that's what I've been trying to follow, trying to educate myself, and yeah.
And what is your interest about the teachings?
My interest about the teachings is to understand how suffering arises in the here and now, how to be more mindful about our true intentions, our true thoughts, how to separate what is beneficial for us, what is skillful for us in the daily life, and with enough mindfulness to know what isn't as skillful, what is not beneficial for us. And I think when we're not mindful enough, then these two things can get complicated. Then we are stuck. I mean, we are like a pulled in into the daily action of the life, and then we are not. No, at the end of the day, we end up being maybe irritated, confused, maybe even slightly depressed, because there is always, like in my opinion, always like a binary option to choose from in many little situations in the daily life. But if we're not mindful enough, we don't see our options. We don't see, okay, maybe I shouldn't have watched that certain video on YouTube. Maybe I shouldn't have engaged in a conversation. And I think for many people, they might say that this is not, that's not so important or whatever. But I think so many binary decisions add up over the day that most people at the end of the day, they don't know why they actually end up being irritated, why they cannot sleep, why they have maybe anxiety problems. And it adds up, like maybe you shouldn't have watched that horror movie before night or something similar like that. Yeah.
And what did Buddha say?
The Buddha said that we should, for example, for feelings or for sense objects, there's always a twofold meaning to it. I mean, they're skillful and not skillful. So, is it a difference if you take, let's say, a forest or a mountain or a sea as a sense object, or if you, I don't know, take a horror movie as a sense object. And those two things will produce different results in your way you feel, in your way you're conscious. What goes for sense objects also goes for morality.
Did he say anything about this moment?
Excuse me?
Did he say anything about this moment?
The present moment? Yeah, he said to be living mindful in the present moment, not to reflect back on the past or the future.
And what is just the word that he just talked about? No matter what, it depends on that true word. Just one word.
Mindfulness?
No, not yet.
Okay. Relating to the present moment? A word relating to the present moment?
Anytime. Anything.
Anything?
Anytime and anything.
Anytime and anything?
Mm-hmm. Because there's not just the Buddha. There must be his teachings too. Otherwise, who knows he's a Buddha or the Buddha?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. If anyone saw him walk on the street, no one knew at all. Who's he? Even right now, just read what he taught is not enough. Without the understanding of the truth of just one word of truth, never changed. Nobody can change. It has to be just like that. That's why we heard Dhamma, not just Buddha. Buddha, yeah. Dhamma, and right. Sangha.
Yes.
So Dhamma is the truth. And Buddha realized the truth. So he talked about the truth of whatever and wherever and when is ever, even right now. What is the truth of now, this very moment? Is it true? Is it real, this moment?
So,
just understand the word Dhamma.
Yeah.
What does it mean, or what is it?
Yeah. So the way to see the things the way they really are.
Can Dhamma be whatever is there right now as it is?
If that what it is right now is reality.
Yeah, yeah, right now.
If it arises in us, if we see it,
yeah,
for us it is true.
Usually,
yes.
When we ask someone what is seen, mm-hmm. What's the answer?
Outside of the Dhamma, I mean, usually in what sense?
Just what is seen now? What is the answer for that question? Understand Dhamma.
Yeah. For who? For the Christian?
Just the question.
Yeah, the question.
What is seen?
What is seen?
You can answer me.
What is seen now? That is the reality. I mean the.
Okay. It's real, right?
Yeah, it is real.
And what is the reality? The truth of that reality, which is seen.
Which is seen? That is to be understood.
What is seen? Someone, something, or what?
The world, basically. The world arises in me. I see the world.
Now?
I see the world right now, yeah.
What is the world right now?
I see you. I see people around me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I am the world.
You are part of my world.
Ryan, you try and answer that. What is seen right now? What is the object that is seen right now? Is it this glass or is it something else?
No, it's
part of the mind to know. I mean, to see you need conditions and good karma to have that.
Sometimes it's easy to answer, right? But to understand the truth of that which is seen, mm-hmm. as it is, It's not easy at all, beyond imagination. Does anyone see something, or just that which can be seen, and only when it's touched on the eye sense? Without the touching of that, they cannot be seeing at all. For example, at the back, it does not impinge on the eye base, so it cannot be seen.
Right.
So it's a moment of a reality which arises to experience that which can be seen at that very moment. And the other moment is not seeing. So what is true? What is real?
That is real, what we perceive in that moment.
Whatever appears
with our senses.
Is it real?
Yes.
For example, sound is real. It's heard.
Yes.
It's there.
Yes.
Does it belong to someone?
If the sound right now belongs to someone, there are multiple sounds. There is your voice, there is the air condition, there is...
And whose voice?
And my voice.
That's right or wrong. Your voice, our voice is just a voice.
Right.
It cannot be anything. It cannot belong to anyone at all. And now, is it still there?
It is still there.
It's gone. As soon as it appears, it's gone.
Yeah. It arises.
Each moment, right? So whatever it's like, it's not permanent at all. It just conditioned to arise and then fall away instantly.
Right.
Begin to understand the truth, which does not appear now. But consider the truth. What is seen, no one can make it to be seeing. It's conditioned just to see only that which impinges on the eye base. Only.
So you are saying there is a sight but no seer.
We just talk about a reality, different ones. For example, seeing is not that which is seen at all. So seeing is real, or what is seen is real?
Seen is real, or what is seen is real?
Is real.
That's one... What is seen is real?
So seeing is the consciousness, in Pali the jaku vijnana. That's the seeing arises at the eye base. What is seen is rupa,
right?
Color. So
right.
They're different,
right?
But
right.
They arise at the same time. That's just that's the way it's described. Is it real? Is it? It's described that way in the suttas. Is it really that way? In actual life, is it that way? The way it's said in the suttas. That there's seen and there's visible object and there's eye base. Like in the Salayatana and the Samyutta Nikaya.
Right, right.
And is that true, or is that just something we read in the book?
That there is a that what we see is rupa. That is true.
It's so true.
So you have studied sometimes about realities like nama and rupa before.
Excuse me.
Have you studied dhamma before, like nama and rupa?
Yeah, I've tried to.
Yeah. Because we can remember the word and the definition and can understand it, but where is that which we are talking about? It's now. Is it as we heard or studied? What is there? Not the word nama, see, but what is the truth? It's a reality. For example, a reality, it means that there are many realities, right? But she is a reality. And what is seeing? We use the word seeing. Well, it sees. They're seeing you right now. No matter we talk about it as this or that, but the truth of it is that a reality which arises just to see or experience that which impinges on the eye base only, no other thing at all. So seeing is real, it's a reality.
Does something which we not perceive with the eye, whatever is behind me right now, okay, does it exist?
Thinking about it, not see it at all. See, different realities. That's why we learn about all realities as they are, as no one and nothing at all. And that is the meaning of anatta, no one, nothing, anatta, not anything, not anyone at all. So seeing cannot be hearing, it cannot be thinking, it cannot be attachment, it cannot be anger or anything else at all. Whenever it arises, it just sees a reality. No one can make it arise. For example, now we're talking, but they are seeing, non-stop seeing. But seeing is not moment of thinking, not moment of hearing. That's why we learn to understand what is there in a moment, from moment to moment, that it's there by conditions. And there are so many different conditions we haven't learned about. Conditions for whatever arise, the far away conditions or the very close, very near conditions, like seeing. Without seeing, that everyone knows it, that the eye base cannot be seen, but it's there to be touched by that which can impinge on it.
I have a question.
Please.
Can there be only seeing as in 100% seeing as in a direct perception? Can there be seeing without even a single moment of thinking?
Okay, we're talking about conditions. Can anything arise without condition for its arising?
No.
That's why. Is there only just one condition?
No.
So there are many conditions. We just talk about just some conditions only.
Right. Right.
That's why even seeing itself cannot arise without conditions at all. And we don't talk about other conditions, only that which is the eye-based, the special rupa, which conditioned by, we can say, every great kamma and so on. But the nature of seeing is that before seeing is there seeing? Before seeing?
Before seeing?
Is there seeing?
The moment before this scene, is there seeing?
There's probably something else.
But there must be the other reality.
Yes, another condition.
But it's
conditions.
Not seeing.
Right.
That's why each moment is different.
Right.
Can it arise again? When it arises to see and then gone instantly, can it arise again? The same one?
Not the same one.
Not the same one. That's why life exists only just in a moment. Only one. And never to arise again.
Right.
And that is Dhamma. What is real, what is true. Nobody can change it not to be real. Seeing is real. It sees only that. It cannot hear, it cannot think at all. And it is just a moment in this lifetime and in samsara, not just today. That's why it's just very impermanent. As soon as it has arisen, it just arises to see and then gone. It cannot be there anymore because it's conditioned to see only when it arises. So it's a Dhamma. And what is seen? It's another reality right now. No one know the truth of it before. That is not what as we take it for. It's not a table. It's not a chair. It's only that which is the object of seeing. How tiny it is, because the eye base is so very tiny, the whole table cannot impinge on the eye base. So just a moment is so very short. No one can imagine, because whatever appears must be so many moments as appear as image or sign of that seeing, not one moment of seeing, many moments. That's why whatever is conditioned to arise appears as only the sign of a reality which arises and falls away. And this is Dhamma. Nobody can change it, can make it. So it is Paramada Dhamma. And it is so very, very subtle. So it is Abhidhamma, all Dhammas. Whatever arises, Dhamma, falls away instantly, never to return, right now. And that is a teaching to understand a moment in life, no matter what, moment of sleeping, waking up, seeing, hearing, and so on, all are Dhammas. It's not just for to believe, but to really consider and understand whether it's true or not. So is it true?
Yes.
Okay. And never change?
It does change. I mean, the thing that they are, yeah. Dhammas do change.
Can seeing be changed? That, yeah. Which is seen be changed? Never. It's that understanding of the seeing as it is firm enough?
Yes.
No one? Nobody see, no one see. It's just a reality which arises to see.
Right.
Nina, did you understand that? Yeah. What do we say? Sabe sankara what? Yes. Yes, that's what we're talking about. Yes, that's what we're talking about now. All realities are impermanent. All realities are not self. I mean, all conditioned realities are impermanent. All conditioned realities are dukkha, and all realities are not self. That's what Ajahn Sujin's been talking about.
Okay.
Yeah. Otherwise, it has to be I who understand, I who heard, I who have confidence, but actually they are all dhammas, different kinds of dhammas. Just arise and falls away, never to return at all.
And we don't have access beyond the signs. We don't have access beyond what appears to be ultimate reality. We cannot know how the world looks beyond our senses. Right.
Because this is not enough yet. Right? We just talk about a moment, a reality, the seeing itself. We have to go on, understand it a little more, in order to letting go the idea of self or something all the time, which is wrong. That's why we have to listen carefully, consider it carefully, and understand truly what is real and what is not real, what is true and what is not true, to have confidence of the truth. That the truth now is just heard, not the direct understanding of seeing right now as it arises and falls away. But now it arises and falls away. So there are many degrees of understanding, stage by stage. Now we learn to have the understanding of the truth. To be firm or not, or just doubt, or it's not that we heard, to understand the truth, to be satya parami. Because it's so true, no matter last life, now or tomorrow, seeing is seeing, just arise and falls away. And this is only one reality. There are so many realities in life to be learned to understand what is there as no one and nothing, anatta. All dhammas are anatta, but all conditioned realities are not permanent. So it's not satisfactory and it cannot be taken for I or mine at all. Is that true? Just one word at a time to consider?
That's true,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, so we learn a little more about it. And what is the difference between the seeing and that which is seen? To understand this moment, not just the book or the word.
Yeah. What is the difference between that which is seen and seeing?
The seeing.
There's only seeing. There's.
But what is the difference?
There's the seeing consciousness and there's the object of seeing, right?
The seeing consciousness appears when the organ meets the sense object.
Yeah, and in the case of seeing, it's color, we can say, right? It's color. So the color or the visible object,
mm-hmm,
is different from the actual seeing, although they arise together. Without the visible object, there can't be seeing. Without the eye base,
right,
there can't be seeing.
Right, that's the condition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they are different. All three are different. The eye base is different from the seeing moment, the consciousness, and the visible object, or the color, is different again.
So three things are different from each other.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So now again, what is the difference between the seeing and that which is seen?
They are not the same.
Why not?
You're right, they're not the same, but describe, if you can, the difference a little.
So the sense organ, the eye, cannot be the same as the sense object. And the eye consciousness cannot be the same as the sense organ, because for example, for eye consciousness, the condition is the contact of me, of the sense organ perceiving the sense object. But let's say I close my eyes, then
that is thinking about it.
Yeah, okay.
But the nature of seeing,
mm-hmm,
and the nature of that which is seen,
mm-hmm,
are they the same kind?
The nature? No.
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 What is the difference?
I don't know how to explain it.
Otherwise, there cannot be the word, not the same. See, from considering the truth of seeing right now,
mm-hmm,
it sees, right? Just the word it sees. Is there seeing right now?
There's seeing right now, yeah.
There's seeing, yeah. And the seeing sees.
The seeing sees?
Yeah.
Okay.
It can get a little bit muddled, but the eye base is a rupa, it's a thing, and the consciousness sees, needs eye base as condition to see.
Yeah.
It can't see through an ear, that's a different base. And the consciousness we call citta, you might know that, accompanied by cetasikas, through the eye base sees visible object, color.
Yeah.
And by the time it's table or hand or teacher or myself or what have you, it's many, many moments of thinking. The object that is seen, as well as the eye base, are rupa. They cannot experience anything. It's a thing. You touch this table and hit it hard or whatever chair, it feels nothing. Just the consciousness through the body, vijnana, or through the eye base,
sees.
And it has a different nature or characteristic from that which is seen. That which is seen is rupa, devoid of consciousness.
Yeah.
Eye base is rupa.
Yeah.
It comes together and falls apart just countless times, but it is the citta, the consciousness, that is the chief of experience, accompanied by the cetasika, the mental factors.
Yeah.
So you're getting there, I mean, about the difference and breaking it down.
Yeah, that was very helpful. Thank you.
So now again and again and again, what is the difference?
The difference is, so the sense object and and the sense organ are both rupa.
The word?
Rupa.
What is that?
Form.
Right. What is rupa?
Form?
What is rupa? Because you use the word rupa.
The glass. The glass? For example, the sense object, the glass?
Is glass has its own characteristic?
It's the it's the condition that it's what there is a condition for glass.
What can be experienced? So we don't understand the truth of seeing yet. We just remember condition and the way it is. But the characteristic or the nature of seeing, the truth of it. What is it? We just talk about seeing alone. Now.
Yeah, it cannot. It cannot. What actually sees is the eye consciousness.
No. Excuse me. Yes, please. I think of the eye base.
Yes,
and now, please. What is consciousness?
The sense organ meeting with the sense object.
The consciousness itself, what is it?
Only that eye consciousness, not the...
We don't talk about the eye consciousness.
Okay.
We just about the consciousness itself.
Okay.
What is that?
In what sense?
Is there consciousness?
There is consciousness.
Okay, what is it?
Vinaya?
Vijnana.
What is vijnana?
Consciousness.
Yeah, only that. How do you know that it's a consciousness?
If I'm conscious of something.
How do you know? There are moments of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking, attachment, aversion, everything.
Yeah.
So what is what? Just one by one. For example, now we talk about consciousness.
Yes.
Just one reality, right?
Yeah.
What is it?
One reality? What is it?
Mm-hmm.
It can
one
be
kind of...
One kind of reality could be hearing, for example.
No, consciousness. Not hearing.
Vijnana in general, or citta in general. What is that? Like there's seeing, there's jaka vijnana, seeing.
Yeah.
There's sota vijnana, hearing.
Yeah.
There's many types of citta.
There's six, right?
It's divided in many ways, but what is... Citta.
We don't talk about the word.
Okay.
We talk about this moment.
Yeah.
To understand the truth of what is there as it is.
Yeah.
So now there is seeing. Usually I see. Mm-hmm. Right? All the time. Now I am seeing, is that right?
Yes, I'm seeing.
But is there I? I is there I? See?
Not the I is seeing.
Me? Or I see, is there I see? Now, at this moment of seeing, is it I see?
Yes.
Who sees? I see.
Is it me seeing or what?
It's not me seeing. Right. It's just the eye consciousness.
Yes.
Yes, you use the word eye consciousness, but I like to understand the consciousness. What is it?
I see. Yeah.
What is the eye? Is there eye or no eye at all? There is seeing, no eye.
There is no eye.
No eye, there is seeing.
Yeah.
And we call it seeing consciousness. Mm-hmm. What is consciousness? Not the word. The reality of that which is consciousness, no matter we change the word, but the characteristic or the nature of that cannot be changed at all. But we have to use some word to make it known as what we are talking about. So we use the word seeing, right?
Yeah, for a reality.
Seeing. But yeah. What is seeing? And the answer is, it's a consciousness. So what is consciousness? Not the word seeing consciousness. Is the consciousness?
Can you help me?
Because it's easy to say the name only.
Yeah.
But the truth is that what is the nature of that which cannot be taken for I at all? Because the truth of it is not anyone, it's not I. But it sees, right?
Yes.
There must be a reality which sees, right? Because yes. Now they're seeing. And the seeing means the moment of experiencing that which is seen. Otherwise, that which is seen cannot appear at all. So it's the moment of a conditioned reality arises to experience that which is seen.
A conditioned reality.
A conditioned reality without the eye bears and the rupa which impinge on it that cannot be seen. But seeing is not that which is seen and not the eye bears which is impinged on by a reality which can impinge on it to condition seeing. See, whatever arises has to be conditioned. That's why we have to understand what conditions what. And there are more than just one reality, one conditions, more than that. But we talk about the near condition, which is the eye.
Excuse me, what was that? Before condition, near?
Pardon?
What was the word before?
I mean that without the eye base, mm-hmm. Can there be seeing?
Without the eye base, there cannot be seeing. That okay. Is a condition.
But is the eye base the consciousness of seeing?
No.
So what is the difference?
That seeing is a seeing, unlike the sense organ and the sense
that is thinking.
No, the seeing is the conditioned reality. Yes.
What is it? The eye sense or the eye base is a reality, a conditioned reality as well.
No.
But
I mean, no. the seeing. The
eye base.
Yes.
The eye rupa.
Yeah.
Is it real?
With the, in itself.
Is it real?
It is real. Yeah.
So it's a reality.
But it's not a reality. It is. It is reality. Okay. So then I.
That's why we learn about understanding the truth, little by little, one by one, to understand the difference. To be the beginning of understanding more and more about the truth of whatever is there, from life to life.
It is a reality, but it is not in itself. It cannot experiences.
Right.
Right. There has to be the conditions. There has to be conditions to have the conditioned reality.
And the consciousness, the seeing consciousness, is mentality. It's different from rupa.
Yeah.
We can call rupa materiality.
Yeah.
But all of this is, of course, in theory, but it's then again, it's happening right now. Before you got here,
mm-hmm.
Ajahn was saying how deep it is. It's deeper than we think.
Mm-hmm.
But this is where it's leading, all of these terms, this Abhidharma. It's to understand the present moment that we've talked about before. And it's all about, the Abhidharma is about the present moment.
Mm-hmm. And the table in itself is also reality.
Well, the table is a, we think of table, that's a process of thinking after the scene. But,
yeah,
but however, there is visible object, there is, and the reason there is visible object is there is materiality there.
Right, right. Yeah,
but
we learn to understand just one reality at a time.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we take all of them as something together, right? But just one reality only cannot be other reality. So we talk about just one reality at a time. We can talk about the I,
mm-hmm.
or the I base for seeing to arise. Yeah. Is it there, a reality? Is it real?
The I base?
Yes.
It's a reality.
Okay. What is the difference between the I base and the seeing, and that which is seen?
The I base?
What
is materiality?
It? Yes, it's real, right?
Yes.
Can you see it?
I cannot.
Can anyone?
No.
No. Why not?
Is it because it's tiny? I don't know.
Because it cannot impinge on anything.
What's another word for impinge?
That which impinge on it, and seeing sees that which impinges.
Touching.
All right.
Ryan, do you understand this a little bit? Do you have any question on it?
Yeah, I have a question. Why do people really want to get more stuff or to get better at something always?
Do they understand anything?
They do, but they just want more.
That's why there must be understanding of the truth, not just thinking about it. Understanding just one reality at a time as it is. For example, sound is not that which is seen, not smell, not taste. Learn to understand what is that reality one at a time, to have confidence when it's there, not just keep on thinking about it. But it's there now. For example, seeing is there now. So when we talk about it, just to understand the truth of it, not just the story of it. That's why there is seeing. And there is that which is seen by seeing. Is there any difference between seeing and that which is seen? It's there now.
Is there any difference between seeing
and that and what which is seen?
Yeah, that which is seen. There is a difference, yes.
What is the difference?
That both are realities, but
is it
seen as a conditioned reality?
Is it a conditioned reality? Is it
seeing? Is yes.
Okay.
Yes.
No change. The truth has to be truth. Yeah. And that which is seen, is it real?
Yes.
Why?
It is a that which is seen. Why is it real? Because it can be seen.
Because it's there,
because
seen.
It's there. Yeah.
That's all. Yeah. Only that which is seen.
Yeah.
No idea of table thing.
Right.
Because that which is seen has to impinge or touch the eye base to condition seen just to see. See?
Yes.
Only that and then fall away. Because it's seen, it sees already. Conditioned just to see, so it sees and then gone. But what is the nature of seeing? Which is different from that which is seen, right?
That which is seen is a is
that
a form.
Which sees. What is that? Which sees.
That which sees?
The seeing. The seeing.
The seeing, yes.
What is it?
A conditioned reality.
Okay, for everything, conditioned realities. But they're different. So what is seeing?
Seeing is not seeing unlike that which is seen is not a materiality. It's not a form. It's not a rupa.
Is it different from that which is seen?
Yes.
What is the difference?
Seeing is consciousness, and that which is seen is form. It's a rupa.
So, what do you mean by consciousness?
Something which depends on conditions. I mean, there's...
Everything depends on conditions,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
But consciousness experiences. That's what it does.
Experiences.
Whatever.
That seems obvious, in a way, that consciousness experiences the object, and yet throughout life we're kind of unaware of it. We're thinking all the time, I am seeing, I am hearing. It's just... almost innate, but the Dharma breaks down this whole, you know, this me going through life, doing this, doing that, experiencing this, experiencing that, into one moment. And that's why there's a lot of emphasis on Buddhism, as you know, on the present moment. And the real present moment is breaking down this life into just these different moments to really get past the idea of I.
When that which sees consciousness is different from eye base, is different from color, what that which is seen. And when we say reality, there may be some mixing with that which is sentient, and it's different. Rupa, the thing, is a reality. It can't experience anything. And sometimes people get a bit of confusion when asked, is it real?
Yeah.
And thinking, I mean, this was the case with myself early on, that which is real is sentient.
Yeah.
But this is not how it is here. Is, if you will, that which does not experience... hasn't the facility experienced materiality, is simply referred to as rupa.
Yeah.
And that which experiences is citta, and that's its characteristic, its nature, is it just experiences. So just to make that distinction, and what Tanajan is driving at is more and more the difference between nama and rupa, that which experiences and that which cannot experience anything doesn't. The eye base is a rupa.
Cannot experience anything in itself.
And consciousness through the eye base, the chakra vijnana, experiences.
Yeah.
And there are many, many different the varieties of citta, many, many different. And thinking is a reality. However, concepts are not real. The thoughts
mm-hmm.
are not real.
The object of thinking is not real. The concept.
Thinking is a reality, is real, yeah, but concepts.
So objects of the mind are different than objects of the eye, in the sense that the objects of the eye are real, but the objects of the mind are not real?
Well, rupa is real. So if we experience these colours here, but when immediately afterwards there's the idea this is a glass, this is an iPad.
Yeah, that's
taking the
thinking.
Thinking, right. The thinking process is real, but the iPad as such is not real. The glass is not real. Yet the colours before the thinking that are taken as an object are real.
Are real.
Yes, yes. But because of memory, because of the way the mind works, immediately the object of thinking is always usually concepts, not always usually concepts.
Right.
So in one sense we can say the Dharma is in the beginning, we are starting to learn the difference between concept and reality. That's one of the stages of breaking down this huge sense of self that's
right.
so deeply ingrained.
Yeah, I understood that.
I understood this.
Okay, so now I can be the answer. What is the difference between the seeing and that which is seen?
The seeing experiences, unlike that which is seen.
Okay. And at moment of hearing?
At moment of hearing, the hearing experiences.
What?
But the sounds.
Okay.
But the sounds in itself cannot experience. Mm-hmm. They are rupa. They are material, materiality.
Yeah, that's why now begin to understand the meaning of what we use, nama and the rupa. Can there be other thing besides the two?
Besides nama and rupa.
Consciousness, or?
Well, no, sometimes we classify consciousness as a nama, as mentality.
Okay.
Yeah. Is there anything beyond, or is there anything other than just mentality and materiality? Nama and rupa?
No.
Right. Not in daily life, anyway.
As much as we know now.
Yeah.
So now, there can be the understanding of the truth of each moment as not self or anything at all, right?
Yeah.
Directly or just thinking about it.
And the understanding, there can be...
Not directly understanding the characteristic of that which appears.
Sorry, again?
It's only thinking about.
Yes.
But not the moment of directly experience the truth of one reality at a time as it is. Can it be known? One reality at a time?
Yes.
Now?
Yes.
Now?
It's difficult, but it can be known.
How? Yeah. What condition that to be directly understand the truth of what is there?
What conditions that reading, mm-hmm. practicing and reading about?
What do you mean by practicing?
Practicing that what we are doing right now, for example.
How to practice to understand this moment? Just that which appears.
Is that what?
Can it be experienced?
We
are talking about seeing, yeah. And we are talking about that which is seen. Both are real.
Yes.
Can there be the direct understanding of the nature of what we are talking about as seeing itself, or that which is seen itself?
Direct. If there can be direct understanding,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
There can be.
How?
By what we are doing now.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad answer in the sense, considering going over what the Buddha taught on these matters.
Right. Yeah,
without hearing what the Buddha said, as you're indicating, and considering what he said as it applies now, there wouldn't be the direct understanding. But that doesn't mean because we are considering it now, there is direct understanding.
No,
but I agree with you that that is... That is a crucial element, yeah.
Right, that's exactly. A good thing to do, to understand, to try to.
So this moment is understanding is enough to know that there is no one, only that which arises and experiences the object, and that which cannot experience anything at all. No matter in what world, the main difference is that which arises to experience and that which arises, but cannot experience anything at all.
Right, the sense object and the organ.
So what did Buddha thought about the truth of this moment as the four noble truth?
That it's impermanent? I mean, that is...
Ariya Satya.
Excuse me?
Ariya noble. Satya, truth.
Yeah.
The four noble truths.
Yeah.
Have you heard about the Ariya Satya in Pali?
No, I'm not too... I mean, I'm from
but
Germany.
But now we are talking about three words.
Yeah.
Ariya, one word, and Satya, and then Dhamma.
Yeah.
If there is no understanding of Dhamma, how can there be the firm confidence of Dhamma as Dhamma? No one there at all. That's why we learn to understand just one word, more careful, right, to really understand until there's no doubt about whatever is there. So now, what is seen is what kind of reality? What is seen now?
It is in a reality which experiences.
Which cannot understand anything.
The rupa.
The rupa, yeah, it cannot understand, it cannot experience.
That's why it's not just the word, but the nature of that which appears is only that which can be seen. No matter we call it color, a visible object, or whatever, mm-hmm, it's only that which can be seen. So what can be seen? What else can be seen?
We cannot see the sense organ, for example. What can be seen?
Very, very true. What can be seen?
Anything which is here, anything which our sense organ perceives in this room.
Anything or what?
One thing at a time. I mean, that what the eye organ perceives.
Again, what can be seen?
So, what is seen?
So,
what does the moment of seeing?
Well,
does it sound?
No, it has to see like stuff to know what to do.
Color,
like color or shapes.
Actually, not shapes, but because of color.
Yeah, it makes shapes.
Yeah. In the process after, but the seeing actually only experiences visible object, which is colors. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
seeing can't experience sound, right?
No, it cannot. Not possible.
Yeah. There can be many other answers too, but they are real. So we can say, what can be seen?
Any visible object.
Only that.
No sounds.
Only that. No thoughts. And not anything.
Yeah, yeah. When I meant anything, I tried to mean any visible.
That's why
object.
We have a little more confidence of the truth. And in truth, the world does not appear as it is at all. Right?
Yeah.
Or does it appear as it is?
The truth?
The world.
The word?
The world, the whole world.
World. Sorry, yeah. The world
does not appear as it is.
To us, yes. It is conditioned.
Only to us?
To.
At any moment.
Yeah.
That's why no matter what is there as the object of experiencing, it appears by way of nimitta, the sign or the shape or form of that which is seen. Right now, see?
Table, glass.
But in truth, there is nothing as table and thing at all. Only a moment of seeing, not just one moment.
Is that sunyata, emptiness?
Sunyata means it's gone forever, never to arise again. So can it go away without arising? It has to arise and then gone. So what is there? It's sunyata, never last. At all. So very rapidly gone, unknown now that it's gone, each one. And that's the meaning of anatta and sunyata, or conditioned dhammas, arise and falls away, never to return. So all dhammas, anatta, is sunyata.
Right.
No I, no permanent thing, thinking is not seeing. And it, yeah.
Sunyata brings in anicca and anatta, does it, Ajahn?
Right. Oh. Because anatta is not self, yes. And the truth of that which is not is that it's sunyata. So no one owns anything at all. From moment to moment in life, in each life, what is there now just only once in samsara.
So the table as it is doesn't exist. It's only a sign.
What is a table?
The table is a concept then, right? And but
without reality, can there be concept?
No.
That's why we learn to understand how come concept or the sign or the mitta of something. And the truth is that there must be the realities which arises, otherwise it's not there. As soon as it has arisen, it falls away instantly. Sunyata. So what is sunyata now?
The insight that everything, let's say, seeing, the table, the concept, the eye,
whatever
is not
arises,
self,
whatever
and impermanent.
Arises.
Yeah, whatever arises, it is not self and impermanent. And that means it's empty.
Is that the direct understanding of a reality?
What I'm doing right, what I'm saying right now?
Now, is that direct understanding of a reality?
It, now, right now, it's more intellectually, probably. It's more intellectually, conceptualizing it.
Can there be a moment of realizing the truth that we have said?
Yes.
Okay. How and when?
When we stop, for me personally, when I stop discursive thought, discursive thought ceases and I perceive.
What can realize the truth? What reality can realize the truth?
What reality? The mind, consciousness.
Or wisdom that arises with consciousness.
Wisdom.
Wisdom, yeah. Panya in Abhidharma, they talk about Panya.
Yeah, high
or
truth, right?
Sati and Panya. And they arise at the same time as consciousness. Or they can arise at the same time.
As mind consciousness, right?
As during the mind or process.
Yeah.
But not every citta is accompanied by panya. There are other cittas, various, that accompany citta. Panya is a rare moment.
You said when thinking stops, that's right. when direct understanding may arise for you.
Right.
But can there be understanding of the thinking process while it's occurring?
Can there be understanding
of the thinking? As not self.
Yeah.
Directly.
Yeah.
Does it have to stop before there can be understanding of it? Or can there be understanding during those processes?
During those processes, and while they are going on.
Yes. So it's not really about stopping thinking so much as whether there's understanding, whether there are other conditions for understanding.
No, but it's easier when the thinking isn't discursive. I mean, the thinking doesn't stop, but the thinking is more like a sub concept. Like just because you are not thinking in discursive terms, it does not mean you are not thinking, but you are thinking like without using words. It's like an intuitive form of thinking, intuitive form of grasping things. While that goes on, there can be understanding. It doesn't have to end. It doesn't have to end for it to be understanding. That's how I'm trying to portray it.
Thinking and concepts are necessary for understanding, for communication. We use words and so on.
Right.
So thinking and concepts aren't problematic, aren't the bad, evil thing to be altered or gotten rid of or somehow. There's no self to do that anyhow. It's all by conditions. But what you alluded to earlier about listening, hearing and listening, discussing, reading, associating with good friends, wise friends, can condition panya, wisdom, understanding, to arise. So there's no self to select or direct or choose which reality to experience. There's no self to direct thinking. That discursive thinking ends. That's just a story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So right now it's just the barest beginning of intellectual understanding.
Right.
So how much understanding of what is there now?
How much understanding there is right now?
How much understanding of what is there now?
Some understanding.
About what?
Well, I learned more concepts which are useful. I mean, I learned more concepts within
what
the teaching.
What is the difference between concept and reality?
Concepts are science. Like concepts we use with the mind.
What is the truth? The reality of concept?
No, the reality is the truth. I mean, the concepts are real too, but
how come to be concept?
Excuse me?
How come to be concept?
With the mind. The mind and the mind object. The mind object is the concept.
So now shall we be more precise? The reality which arises and just experience that which appears, that is experienced, is citta. Just one more word, citta. A reality which arises to experience the object, a reality, or no matter what, it just arises to experience. Even at moment of thinking, it's that which thinks. At moment of experiencing what is there, it's that which is the chief of experiencing, only that, no idea at all. Just see, for example, here, for example, no idea yet. While there are other mental reality arising together, whatever we use the word mental reality, it arises to experience the object.
One by one?
Yes.
Not at the same time, right?
Together, experience the same object. But they are different, but they condition each other to arise.
Right, so basically after seeing, there can be thinking.
There are other mental factors which arise with seeing.
Right.
Experiencing the same object, but they are different. They cannot be the chief of experiencing, the characteristic of that which is experienced. Right. Otherwise, how can it be known as black and blue and white and so on? Because that citta, the chief of experiencing the object, is there.
To differentiate just between
any moment.
Right.
Never absent at all.
Right.
In life, eons and eons ago. But it arises just a moment to experience one object and then gone.
Ceases again. Yeah.
So how many moments of that which arises and experiences what is there now appearing? Right now.
Seeing. Hearing?
Everything. Thinking. Everything. So we learn to understand the reality which arises to experience. They are different.
Yeah.
So the chief of experiencing, the characteristic only, it does not like or dislike, or it cannot remember or feel, it just arises to experience the reality which is there. So one word for it is citta.
Citta.
Citta. But it experiences different objects by conditions. So there are different words for seeing. It is cakkhu, the eye, and vijnana, seeing, consciousness.
Is it vijnana which likes and dislikes? Yes,
vijnana,
right?
Vijnana is only citta. So another name or word for it.
Yep. Didn't you say that it arises without saying it likes and dislikes? But what is it then that dislike, likes and dislike?
When citta arises, it arises with other citta seekers, other mental factors. Oh, okay. So when there's liking, mm-hmm. there's citta that experiences the object, but that doesn't like or dislike. But at the same time, there's lopa or tanha that likes.
Tanha,
or there's aversion, that dosa that dislikes, that arises together with the citta.
So
they're different, but they arise
different,
together.
It's not that citta is the one
who dislikes.
Dislikes.
No,
that's not the case.
No, but citta just experiences. It's the chief in experiencing.
That's why we listen carefully to have firm confidence of one only reality at a time. For example, now, we talk about our reality, which does not like or dislike, because like is our reality and disliking is another reality. And now we don't talk about them.
Okay.
We just talk about our reality, which is the chief of experiencing an object at a time. And why do we use the term the chief? It means that there are other mental factors experiencing the same object together at the same moment, but different function, different characteristic. Who knows if Buddha didn't teach about it, that it cannot be just seeing itself. There must be other conditions arising together to experience the same object, but different function, different characteristic.
Can there be seeing and thinking at the same time?
Seeing is only citta. And the other mental factors which arises together experience the same object, fall away together, but different characteristic and different nature, is cetasika. Anger is a reality.
Yeah.
It does not be the chief, it's not the chief of experiencing the object, but it share, experience the same object, because it is a characteristic which is attached only. No matter when it arises, it is attached to that object. It cannot be other reality like memory. It cannot remember.
It cannot arise within itself, right?
They arise together. Whatever arises, arises together, not only
one by another or at the same time?
Citta is a conditioned reality.
Yeah.
So there are realities arising to be conditioned for its arising. That's why there are so many different conditions by different way. For example, whatever arises together,
whatever
arises together is a condition.
It's a condition.
Saha chata pachya. Pachya is condition, and chata is arise, and saha is together. That's why when we talk about anything, whether it is saha chata, it means that they have to arise together with the other. So citta arises with the other reality, which can experience the object by its nature, being attached, or remember, or feel. Not just one reality, different realities. But citta is the chief of experiencing the object. It cannot like, it cannot remember, it just arises to experience. Clearly, as that is very pale red or blue or yellow, or it's very
recognizing.
No,
recognizing.
Just experience.
Experiencing, recognizing.
Recognize is another reality.
Is another
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's why we learn. That's why we learn about now what are there and what is the chief. So, if there is no citta as the chief of experiences, that which appears, there cannot be anything appear. No world. What is the world? It's that which arises one by one together at the same time. So it appears as the whole big world. But in truth, just one reality arises. And so many realities. That's why there must be the taste and the smell and so on. But they are there together. They cannot arise alone. That's why we learn to understand each moment. It's conditioned by different conditions. Arising together has to be one condition. Citta cannot arise without cetasikas, and cetasikas cannot arise without citta. But the chief of experiencing the object clearly is just that which is citta. But there are so many different moments. That's why it has different names for each moment too. Sometimes we heard the word vinyana and chakku vinyana, only seeing. The vinyana which arises to see.
My consciousness.
Not citta alone,
yeah.
But they are all cittas. The experiencing, the chief of experiencing the object.
When we talk about citta alone, are we talking about mind citta? We
just talk about citta, no cetasikas.
Okay.
One by one.
Yeah.
But citta always arises with cetasika, but we have to talk about them one by one.
Okay.
And after the jhaka vijnana, there's another citta and a different citta and so on. So it's always in a process, but it's always one object at the time. They're always in a process. It's not like seeing and thinking happen at the same time.
Right.
That can't be your seeing and hearing.
And what is the chief? Citta alone, not other mental factor. That's why we learn to understand citta, because it's there, never absent at all, no matter while one is sleeping or...
So when Buddha said, mind precedes all dhammas, mind is the chief, was he talking about citta?
We use just the word mind, but what does it mean? What does it include?
Citta.
Other cetasikas arising together.
Together, yeah.
But we talk about just one reality, the chief one. So now we begin to understand that at this moment, it's citta, which is the chief of experiencing what is there, clearly. Cetasika experience the same object by way of attaching, being attached instantly to that object. And it's not the reality which does not understand the truth. For example, right now, what is there? We say seeing. Okay. Is there any understanding of seeing before hearing about it? Or before there is more and more understanding of it.
Yeah.
Until it appears as it is. So now we understand that the world, the whole world, even right now, reality does not appear as it is, one by one.
Right.
That's why the moment of no understanding of the truth, is it a reality? No understanding? It's there now.
No understanding is reality too, yes.
Certainly. Opposite of understanding. And in Pali, it is avicca. Vicca is understanding. And a is no. No understanding. Or another word, moha. Just be drunk by ignorance about everything in life.
Ryan. Is it important to know Buddhism?
Yes.
The teaching? Why?
You need to understand it because without it, like other religions, they wouldn't know to do what if it's good or not, like karma. Or really, you need it. It can end all suffering, and that's why it was made, to end all suffering.
Is there anything more important than knowing about Dharma and understanding it?
Well,
in life, is there anything more important?
Well, I think they're kind of the same, by doing good stuff like generosity, kindness, and other very good stuff to people or other species. But Buddhism is, I think, overall the most important thing to like do in life.
As it is at all. That's why we learn just one word, respectfully, to really understand the truth, to begin to understand a little more of what is there. Without understanding the truth from the very beginning, we just remember the word because it's there to be known. Greed is there. Anger is there. It can be known. But no self, no one has to be so firm that the nature of what is there that we take for I, without the reality which experience the object, can there be I or anyone? That's why the chief,
citta
is the chief. And we begin to talk about it to understand the difference between citta and the other reality which experiences object, but not citta. Little by little to understand the difference. That's why in life no one has heard about the reality which experiences the object. It's always I. Because at moment of seeing, no one there. How can it be other? Because it sees, so what is there is I see. No one at all, no understanding of the truth. That it's just a moment of conditioned reality arise to see, only and then gone.
One moment of eye consciousness, right?
Eye consciousness, see? But that is not enough to know that it's eye consciousness, it's not me. Because in truth, who sees now? It's the I, even no word.
Yeah.
But no one except this one who sees. That's why we learn to understand each word of the teaching about the roots of everything. The unwholesome roots, ignorance, attachment, and aversion. Without it, see? That's why we learn to understand in order to let go the attachment to the idea of self. Without understanding it, nothing can eradicate the idea of self and things at all. That's why, to be truthful, this is only intellectual understanding. It can be wrong because I remember it. I like it. I know. I understand. All conditioned realities are taken for I, no matter its feeling or memory or like or dislike in life.
Do we say something is not self or no
everything
self?
Is there,
a difference?
By conditions.
In your opinion? Or
he's asking, sometimes in English they say no self or not self. Are they different? It's just the Pali word anatta.
It's just a word. Just
no why self. Why do so many scholars and people and even monks like get
because they don't
each
understand.
Other?
I think they don't understand because okay, it's just anatta. Okay. It's just no self at all. Just
that's
conditions.
Why
okay.
You
no
can
self, yeah.
Listen to anything from anyone,
yeah.
But consider it. Whether it's true or not. Just let go. How? How can anyone let go? And what is to let go of that? The idea of self? Or what? Or things? My property? My possession? My house? My country and so on? How can it be letting go of it?
By realizing that it is impermanent.
Who knows?
Citta?
From whom? From who?
From experience. That it
by
is
yourself it. Or by hearing the truth about it and consider it?
By hearing it and by seeing it.
And if someone thinks that it's not true, how can we help?
By... If somebody else says it's not true,
mm-hmm.
Well, then we try to try
they
to
don't consider.
It.
They do not consider carefully
right.
About the truth, about the word right. Of it, of the truth. For example, citta, see.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? They just talk about the consciousness, subconsciousness, and so on, by thinking. But what is the absolute truth? If nothing arises to experience, how can there be anything around appearing? That's why we learn to understand the characteristic which is there as it taken for I, that actually is not I. It's a reality which is conditioned. So many conditions, we don't talk about conditions yet. But understand that without conditions, nothing can arise at all. And as soon as it's conditioned to arise, carefully thinking, as soon as that which is conditioned to arise and it has a reason, so it's gone instantly. See? No one can stop. Because the truth is that the conditions just condition the arising. As soon as it has a reason, gone. Is it true? Just condition. Seeing is not always there.
Yeah. There has to be a condition.
So now, understanding is a letting go.
Yeah.
No one else. Without understanding, what can let go? The wrong understanding and the clinging, attachment to wrong idea. That's why it's so very mangala, blessings, to have discussion on the truth.
Right, I agree. Yeah.
Just read. It depends on accumulation of the ones who reads, how to understand it, very little or very deep. That's why the teachings of the Buddha are three stages or three levels. Intellectual understanding about the truth. It's so true. When it's so true, can it be realized? If not, it's useless for Buddha to teach. But since it's there, and the truth is as it is, so it can be directly experienced, but not just by hearing. But there must be understanding more than that. The citta itself cannot understand the truth. And without the other wholesome citta-sikas, there cannot be right understanding. Even hearing itself cannot lead to understanding because it just hear the word only, not the meaning. And when the meaning is known, what about the answer or the truth? It has to be considered carefully, very carefully, before there can be understanding.
And the understanding of the truth is a reality in itself?
Is it?
It is.
So, the answer is that, by your own.
It's also just a conditioned reality, but it's a very useful one.
Yeah.
And it arises because of the Buddha's teaching, because of consideration, because of discussion, and because of applying it now and understanding now.
And this discussion with all these conditions.
Yes, this is a condition.
And that's the reason why Buddha taught. See, without his teachings, who can understand what is there? For 45 years, each word is not to remember, or just to find out the reason and so on, but to understand the nature of that which is now. Very short.
Which is now.
Now. Very short. No one can expect or imagine how short it is. Because seeing cannot be moment of hearing, but it seems like they are there together.
It's like a... Does it make sense to compare it to like a movie which is step by step, like a frame?
One frame.
Is it a good example to use? It's
but more than that.
Simile. But it's much, much faster. Much but it's a simile, yeah.
Because at the moment of thinking about movie, how many moments?
Yeah, there's already been a movie in itself.
Mm-hmm. So be truthful to the truth is parami, the wholesome conditions to let go moment of ignorance and akusla, unwholesome moments. Otherwise, there are conditions for unwholesome moments in the day.
Ignorance. Unwholesome moments, right? Yeah.
So understanding the difference between ignorance and right understanding, different kinds of reality. So ignorance is real. It's a reality.
It's reality. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In a day, how many moments of ignorance?
In a day, how many moments that of ignorance?
In a day.
Plenty. A lot.
More than that. Much more than that. Who knows 3 moments after seeing? Only 3. Because there must be a moment before seeing, which is not seeing. Just a moment. And then 1 moment of seeing only. And the moment the next which follows does not see. But it experiences the same object. Right now, who knows?
So perception is a moment after, is a reality after the reality of seeing in itself.
There are many moments. That's why Buddha thought about each moment.
Yeah.
What is what?
Right.
And who can know that seeing is just a moment of seeing, only a moment among all other moments?
What experiences?
Seeing.
Yeah.
See, it's not just only 1 moment.
Right.
Who knows how many seeing right now?
We don't know how many seeing.
More than we can expect.
Yeah.
And is this true? It will lead to letting go, taking seeing as I see, gradually, little by little, no other way at all.
Not by hearing that letting go is the right way. I mean, we hear teachers say let go,
right?
And it's, in a sense, it's true, letting go, but
yeah,
without wisdom it's impossible.
It's just a word.
It's just an idea that we have, you know. Buddhism teaches us to let go. It sounds good, we see the logic in it, but without understanding the moment, there can't be real letting go.
So just learn to understand a little more of just 1 reality. For example, we use the reality which experiences an object. It's true. It's true, right? Not enough. What is that which experiences the object clearly?
Experiences citta?
The object clearly. The citta only.
Citta.
Who knows? See? No idea that there is just 1 reality which arises just to experience the object.
And then sees again.
And then gone.
And then arises.
Mm-hmm. Takes another object.
The seizing is the condition for the arising of the other one, right?
Certainly.
Yeah.
By way of
a
condition, anantarapajaya. See? That's why we learn a little more about what is there in life from birth. Only birth is not enough. Born to see, born to hear, to think, and go on until death. And then conditioned to begin to be another being after this one. Is it true? Just understand the truth, and that is right understanding. Works its way secretly, unknowingly, how it works to have condition to moments in life after understanding little by little.
Here by conditions, and I think that the most important thing in life is a moment of understanding.
So we better finish. I think.
Oh, I see.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Kapu kapu.